Greetings, Chicagoland. Thank you for tuning in to the weekly program, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, based on improving lives through public service and volunteerism. Today's presentation is brought to you by the Forum to Achieve Altruism, Compassion, and Tolerance, the FACT organization, with more than a 75-year legacy of promoting peace, harmony, equality, and social justice for all. Building Community, Strengthening Nations features newsmakers and movers and shakers engaged in enlightening discussions on current issues and events that positively impact our diverse communities. The FACT organization invites you to contact us for general information or referral services, volunteer opportunities, and suggestions, questions, or comments regarding programming topics and guests. Please call FACT at 773-424-8002 to reach our 24-hour voicemail and facsimile. Our email address is faactorg@aol.com. Now tell your friends to tune in to FACT every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. We're streaming live over the internet at www.thechicagolighthouse.org. My name is Ruth M. Fairfax Frazier. I am the founder and executive director of the FACT organization, and today I am so pleased to serve as your host. FACT is always excited about this opportunity to share time with you, our most valued listening public, with different weekly topics of interest that positively influence our communities. However, as we always say, this can only be accomplished with your help. The fact is, we all need each other, and by uniting our efforts, we can make a positive difference for everyone. In a nutshell, FACT's combined vision and mission is to help create a better world through educating the public and coalescing with others to eradicate biases and prejudices, as well as hate crime. Hello, this is Ruth Fairfax Frazier with FACT, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, here on Chris Radio. We have a very important topic today. We're going to discuss criminal justice system and how it can be redesigned to benefit our society. Joining us today is Mr. Mark Hallett, Program Manager, Grants and Partnerships with the Illinois Humanities Council. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Thank you so much, Ruth. It's great to be here. It's always good to hear your voice. It's wonderful on this Tuesday afternoon to be with your listeners for a little while.
Well, we truly appreciate all of the wonderful work you do with the Illinois Humanities Council, but we're going to start off with you telling us about your background and then go into more detail about the Chicago-based group.
Wonderful. So I am from Chicago. My father was a minister and did a lot of work in community economic development here in the city. My mom is a social worker and a lifelong artist, and so I feel very connected to the city of Chicago and very proud of being a Chicagoan. It's a city that you love, but it's a city that's always shooting itself in the foot. I don't mean to start out on a negative note, but this city has so many wonderful traits and assets and characteristics and its history of neighborhoods and architecture and music and collective action and all those things. And yet, when you see the celebrations of the life of Dr. King that are happening this year, you realize that some of the conversations that we're having are sort of similar to conversations that were happening about 50 years ago.
Right. And you ask, where is the progress?
Where is that progress? I think there has been. You have to take an optimistic look. And this is just such a wonderful city to be in on this gorgeous lake. And on this slightly gray afternoon.
Mark,
yeah,
spring has sprung, but we're still waiting on it.
We are, aren't we? We're a patient group, us Chicagoans. My own background, I've spent most of my life here in town. I've also as soon as I was old enough to traveled, and so I've lived in Brazil and in Mexico and in Norway and in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a lifelong artist. I ended up studying history and then journalism, and for many years was at a foundation here in town, the McCormick Foundation, which historically was connected to the Tribune Company. Robert McCormick was the publisher and editor of the Trib for many years, and died in 1955. And so, working in the field of journalism, like you, Ruth, and then came here to the organization Illinois Humanities in February of 2015. So just over 3 years ago. And I have to tell you, this is a really dynamic and exciting small organization, and we're doing a lot, and it's wonderful to be part of it. And so I can share more about that in a moment.
Well, I understand that you're fluent in a couple languages as well.
Well, I like to believe I'm fluent. You'd have to ask someone else. I had the opportunity to live in Mexico and then in Spain for a combined about 5 years. But the interesting thing is, you don't have to leave the city of Chicago to study "quote unquote" foreign languages. There are lots of Spanish speakers here, and where we live in the neighborhood of Rogers Park, with Edgewater. Excuse me, I don't know how I made that mistake. Way up on the north side, you can walk around the block and hear a number of languages. So that we're truly a global city in that very rooted and grounded sense.
Right. Well, I know that the cultural immersion that happens here in the city is something that we don't experience in other parts of America, least of all around the globe, as far as the mixing of so many different cultures coming together. So it's great when you are fluent and you're able to relate to people at wherever they are, you know?
I appreciate that. I mean, I will say that we all have to make efforts to reach out to people who are from different backgrounds. And I do know from personal experience that you really do see someone's eyes light up when you, regardless of how good your skill is in a language, when you make the effort to speak with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just see that connection viscerally the moment you make the effort to try to speak with someone.
Right.
And it does give you an eye into people's world, because the vocabulary they use, the way they say things, it's the expressions.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a very different sort of filter for looking at life.
Right. And to me, that also gives you a very great perspective in the position that you're in with Illinois Humanities. Tell us about this wonderful organization.
Yeah, I'm really proud to be a part of it and to share with your listeners. So Illinois Humanities is a nonprofit. It's a 501c3. It was created way back in 1973, which Chicagoans would remember is still back in the days of the first Richard Daley mayor, before Harold Washington, before Daley the son, before Rahm. And it was quite a different organization then. It was largely created after the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Endowment for the Humanities began establishing these state councils really with the goal of doing grant making, of giving money to arts and cultural groups across the city and across the state at that time. And it's evolved a great deal over those years. And so today we're much more an organization about partnering with other groups and providing our own programming in different areas. Our mission statement is that we strengthen the social, political, and economic fabric of Illinois through constructive conversation and community engagement. And we take that mission very seriously, because the idea that the humanities are there to help engage people in thinking about and reflecting on and conversing on the issues that affect their communities is something that we're all really passionate about. And so what I mean by that is that in a city like Chicago and in a state like Illinois, people can often be really jaded and feel as though they're outside of the important discussions and the decision making. And what we want to do is to help people be involved in dialogue and conversation, whether it's about the most minute issue impacting their neighborhood or the history of their community or some important policy issue that's rising on the horizon, or the arts or journalism or a variety of areas. We're really driven by this belief that people should be sitting at the table and invited to be part of well-moderated dialogue around the issues that affect their lives, whether they're artistic, cultural, humanities-related, or even sort of in the public policy realm. Mm-hmm. Those are all important areas. We're a small group. We're a staff of about 14 people, mm-hmm. and we have to help provide programming for a really big state.
Right.
So we recognize going into it that that's a huge challenge, and that's why so much of what we do is in partnership with other organizations across the state of Illinois.
Mm-hmm. And you don't concentrate strictly on urban communities either, is that correct?
No, that's a really great point, too. I mean, what we've found, and I'll give you an example, Ruth, is that there are communities across the state in Chicago, in a big city, in medium-sized cities, small towns, and in the most rural communities, there are people who sorely need and are really thirsty for engagement, for being involved, for being entertained, for learning, for participating and speaking up. And that's true across all of these very different communities. You know, in 2015 and 2016, we hosted a series of dialogues around people's connection to their own local public school system. And it was really interesting, Ruth, because we held these dialogues in Chicago, and Chicagoans will know the schools that I'm mentioning here, in partnership with Senn High School here in Edgewater, mm-hmm. in partnership with Kenwood Academy, in partnership with Kelly on the southwest side, and in partnership with University of Chicago's Woodlawn High School, but also in Elgin, Decatur, and way down south in Carbondale. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you that the issues that arose and the challenges that these school districts are facing are really, you know, it's underfunded schools. It's that it's really difficult to attract and retain high-quality teachers and administrators.
Right.
It's that there's growing poverty. And it's that learning is changing, it's evolving, and that schools need to continually catch up. And that was just as true for the public high schools where we did work near Carbondale as it is for the city of Chicago. And mm-hmm. so we actually have a lot more in common than I think we often recognize.
I certainly agree with you there. Let's do a quick overview of some of the programs that you provide on a regular basis there with Illinois Humanities.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot going on. You know, we've got programming, really exciting things happening in the arts, you know, overseen by my colleague, Jane Beachy and Binu Parori. And in the arts, last summer, and I think we came on your program to talk about the Pekin Theater.
Yes, you did.
Evening at the Pekin with that fantastic ragtime pianist, Reginald Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, we held a citywide performance that involved choirs from every one of Chicago's wards. That was quite an accomplishment, I have to tell you. you have to be careful what you set out to do, Ruth, because sometimes people will hold you to it.
Right.
But we actually did have people from every corner of the city of Chicago participating in a performance of David Lang's work, Crowd Out, at The Beam at Millennium Park in October. And there's a lot more happening in the arts. We've got a program called the Elective Studies Supper Club, which puts artists together for a wonderful meal, and they have access to a top drawer speaker about topics decidedly not related to the arts at all.
Mm.
And so they'll have an environmental economist or a community organizer or others talk. And it's like having a TED Talk, but you actually get to have dinner with the person.
Okay.
And then in journalism, I have a new colleague, Sam Chulkey, who just joined the team, and he's overseeing our work there. There's also a lot happening in journalism. We're working with a group. You mentioned rural communities. We're working with a group. ProPublica Illinois has a partnership with a very innovative theater director whose name is Koya Potts. And they're basically doing workshops across the state of Illinois to look at what issues really matter to people. And these are sort of listening events, and that's a really powerful thing to hear in an unfettered way what issues really matter to people,
mm-hmm.
and hearing them sort of set an agenda. And for a journalistic outfit to do that, it's really remarkable, and we have a lot of interest in how this project is going to unfold. In public policy, we just wrapped up the program that I described around continuing education throughout the state. And there's much, much more. The Odyssey Project, which I know my colleague Chris Gazidis has talked with you about, and Odyssey is this remarkable program that provides a free academic year's worth of courses in the humanities for adults who never had the opportunity to go to college. And it's just, they get college credit, Ruth, and it's a remarkable experience that grows people's interest in the humanities and the arts and literature and philosophy, that grows their self-confidence, their civic engagement. It's truly a sort of revolutionary thing, and so they're actually going to have their graduation coming up on May 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Another class of Odyssey, and all of these adults who now have this wonderful experience under their belt, and it is truly a life changer. A few years back, they started Sojourner Scholars, which is sort of an Odyssey-like opportunity, but for high schoolers.
Oh.
And that's happening across the South Side and growing to the schools around the state. And then there's the Gwendolyn Brooks Youth Poetry Awards, which
right.
You may have mentioned when we were on your program. And so when Gwendolyn Brooks was Poet Laureate of the state of Illinois, She ran herself from 1970 to 2000 a statewide poetry contest to get this route for kids from kindergarten through 12th grade. And so we had the opportunity to revive this poetry contest that was dormant from the time that Gwendolyn Brooks passed in 2000 until 2017.
Mark, you brought her daughter on to Chris Radio to share with our audience about that program.
Of course. We had Nora. We had Nora, who's wonderful, in curation.
Yes.
And so we're really excited because we've just learned that we're going to be able to have to continue this contest. And so there's going to be a 2018 Gwendolyn Brooks Youth Poetry Award for student poets across the state of Illinois.
Beautiful.
And ending with a really exciting award ceremony. So I could go on. There's so much happening. there really is. And I would just say, and I know it sounds like a plug, and a shameless plug, and I suppose it is, but if people go to ilhumanities.org, you can see a lot of events that are coming up and hopefully sign up and attend things.
Give us that website again, please, Mark.
Yeah, definitely. It's www.ilhumanities.org. So it's short for Illinois Humanities.
Okay. Now, your office is located right in the middle of Chicago Loop. Is that correct?
That's right, and we just moved last fall, so we're now at, we're actually in the old CPS headquarters, believe it or not, at 125 South Clark.
And for those who may not know, CPS is the Chicago Public Schools. They were located in that large building.
That's right. We're right up on the sixth floor, suite 650.
Okay. So, of course, when they come to visit you, they're going to want to visit all of the wonderful amenities of the city at the same time.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth, I hope we have time still. I want to share with you an initiative that we're about to launch, which is actually our single biggest initiative ever. And it's very important and very timely. And we want your listeners to know about it.
Well, that's what we opened our program with, that was going to be our discussion. So we're waiting for you, Mark. Tell us all about it.
Okay. So we've been spending, the past year almost planning this. Your listeners are getting a little bit of a behind the scenes look at it before it goes public. The initiative is called Envisioning Justice. And I'll tell you, the basic idea behind Envisioning Justice is that there's a lot of talk about reforming the criminal justice system, right? And we're talking about everything from how policing is done to how people are sentenced to what our prisons look like and how long people spend in jails and prisons, to the whole issue of reentry and whether or not people are able to return to or establish a stable life, or if recidivism occurs. There's a long arc of very complex and important issues there. And this initiative, Ruth, is based on the notion that, as so often happens in Chicago and Illinois and in our society, the people most impacted by the criminal justice system are not being invited to the table to help reflect on how well or how poorly it's doing, mm-hmm. and what a new system might look like. And so we're about to launch on April 3rd. We're going to be making this initiative public. And so what does this actually look like? Well, what we're hoping to do is to use the arts, the humanities, and civic dialogue to engage people across the city of Chicago in thinking about and learning more about the current criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
So we have hubs where they're going to be teaching artists, leading middle schoolers, high schoolers, and adults in doing artwork, but exploring issues around criminal justice through the artwork. So those hubs are the group Circles in Cypress and Rogers Park, the group Open Center for the Arts in Little Village, the group Bright Star Community Outreach in Brownsville, the group Let Us Breathe Collaborative in Back of the Arts, the Better Boys Foundation North Lawndale, and then, believe it or not, the sixth and seventh hubs are actually Cook County Jail and the Juvenile Temporary Detention Facility.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's going to be work happening at these hubs, but for your listeners, they should know that in May and after each of these three 10-week arts sessions, there are going to be open houses where there's going to be performance and people are going to share the artwork they've produced, and there's going to be dialogue around the criminal justice system.
Okay.
So in addition to the hubs, which is sort of the heart of the program, we're going to be commissioning artists to produce artwork, again, around themes related to criminal justice and what a better system might look like.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be making grants ourselves, Ruth, so we're going to actually be giving money away to groups to carry out work. We're going to be partnering with a documentary film outfit to produce a provocative film around these topics and focusing on Chicago. And then all of this is going to culminate in an exhibit at a downtown location in May of next year, May of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I can tell you really quickly, and I'm going to throw a couple dates and times and places at you here.
Okay.
They're coming up soon, though, and we want to make sure that people know about them.
Mm-hmm.
The first is that the initiative is going to be launched on April 3rd in a press conference at Roberts Temple, Church of God in Christ, 4021 South State, at 10:30. And we're going to have representatives from all of these hubs and different initiatives there to talk about the state of criminal justice and where it could be headed with more of our input. There might be a few celebrity speakers there, a la Kim Fox and others. I don't want to make any promises, Ruth. But I'm pretty sure that we're going to have a few surprise luminaries, shall we say, at this event.
Mm-hmm.
On April 4th, the next night, there's an event at School of the Art Institute downtown called Redesigning the System, How Artists, Policymakers, and Practitioners Are Shaping Criminal Justice Reform. And that's, I don't want to share too much about it simply because the response has been so strong that it's actually already
sold out.
It's sold out. And when I say sold, it's a free event. But,
yes.
But sold out, it's at capacity. But
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a lot more like this. And so just for your listeners to know, the Honorable Ruben Castillo is going to be there, Kim Fox, Jeff Korzenik, Tony Preckwinkle will be there,
mm-hmm.
Sarah Ross from the School of the Art Institute, and a journalist who I've actually known for many years, Carol Bogert of the Marshall Project,
mm-hmm.
is going to be there as moderator. And so that there's going to be many events. I don't want to say many just like this because this is a special one, but many public conversations around the criminal justice system over the coming year.
And I just wanted to add, Mark, that for our audience to know, these conversations are generally free to the public to attend. Is that correct?
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we hold, you know, very dear. I don't think all of the events that we do are free. There are simply some that just because we don't have enough funding, occasionally have a charge. But I think over 95% of the public, you know, events that we host are are really free and open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can, really quickly,
sure.
Just to let people know, we're going to have a workshop on this initiative this coming Saturday at the Carter G. Woodson Library at 9525 South Halsted at noon.
Okay.
We're gonna have a workshop on this initiative at the Gary Comer Youth Center on the evening of April 5th, next Thursday, week from Thursday, at 7200 South Ingleside at 6 p.m. And then, just to sort of reiterate, this initiative has its own website. So if you go to envisioningjustice.org, envisioningjustice.org, you'll see a full lineup of what's happening, upcoming events, the press conference, the grants workshops. There are going to be these open houses in May and later in the year that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and one final thing, Ruth, that I'm really excited about, because we really do want to hear from your listeners, is there's going to be a share your story spot on the website.
Beautiful.
And we want to hear people's own reflections on the experiences that they've had with the criminal justice system and with law enforcement. And as always, and I don't want to make any assumptions about people's experiences, it could be the good, it could be the bad, it could be the ugly. But we really do want to hear what people's own experiences have been like and what they take away from them.
Well, we want to thank you, Mark Hallett, Program Manager, Grants and Partnerships with Illinois Humanities, for joining our listeners today. And for our audience, always remember that the Forum to Achieve Altruism, Compassion, and Tolerance, the FACT organization, is here to help build communities and strengthen nations through promoting exemplary public service and volunteerism. Please join us next week on this same station for what promises to be an excellent program of lively conversation. Again, thank you so very much, Mark.
Oh, it's always great to speak with you. Thank you.
Bye now.